What's up, Mr. Weiss?
I'm sending you the show notes. What do you want to call this one?
Bonjour from New Zealand.
I'm going to call it Kiwi Beer Radio, and you can change the name if you like it.
Let's see. Yeah, so I had the idea. What did I plug at the very beginning? It was Flight of the Kiwis.
Flight of the Kiwis? Because
it's a flight of beer.
Yeah. That's not bad. All right. Flight of the Kiwis it is.
I do like Bonjour from New Zealand, but...
Because
it's juxtaposition.
I was suggesting that this is actually a nice chance to get the telescope out. Mm-hmm. But then again, it was kind of cold when we left, and it's even colder now, so... Probably not. I don't know. It's a good time. Saturn's out. Jupiter's out. Mm-hmm. Mars is out. But getting the telescope out at 11 o'clock is not ideal.
What's the temperature? It is 49 degrees. No, 6 degrees centigrade.
Which is...
43.
That's what I thought, around 43 degrees. A little too cold, probably. Although, good for seeing...
It is good for seeing.
Yeah.
Just cold for viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'd rather sit in here.
I agree. The thing is that we have a couple beers to finish, and then we have some things that are in the fridge that need finishing.
Yeah, we can finish. We can finish away. We got some, a little bit of white chocolate.
Yes.
Got a little bit of Black Tuesday.
Oof.
I wasn't loving the Black Tuesday last week.
I thought it was great. How could you not love the Black
Tuesday? I don't know. It just wasn't feeling amazing to me. I mean, it was Black Tuesday. How can you hate it? But it wasn't feeling like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I was digging the hell out of it. So,
I got some press in the newspaper this week.
You did?
I did. For Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week. Bob Batts from the PG did a little, you know, Pittsburgh Craft Beer is all about these collaboration brews. Go for it. Excuse me. I'll take it if you really don't want it. But
I just want to share.
Well, good for sure. Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week is all about local craft beer and collaboration. In my opinion, they might be a little too much local craft beer. They haven't really brought in enough of the big names that are available in the market.
You know? I mean, that's like Philly Craft Beer Week.
Philly Craft Beer Week is about bringing in the big names. Yeah. And Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week is about home growing the big names. Different strategies. I'm not sure I like the Pittsburgh strategy as much. But so, like, there's like 18 collaboration beers. For Pittsburgh Craft Beer
Week. That's a lot of collaboration.
It's a lot. And it's not all breweries collaborating. So this is what bugs me. Here I go. I'm getting on my soapbox. Climbing up on the soapbox
right now. Bring it on.
All right. So a collaboration beer is two breweries getting together and brewing something. I get that. They do happen all the time. A beer where a brewery and, say, a company that... Or a brand that pairs beers with movies?
Yeah, I think we talked about that
last
week.
We did talk about it last week. That's not a collaboration beer. That's a Beer Week beer.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The church did a beer with Caliente, which is a bar. Caliente is this bar that brings beers into the market that normally aren't available here. They drive to Philly and get beers. And I think this is all above board. I think this is all legal. But because, like, say, the brewery is not available in Western Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
but it's available in Philly. Mm-hmm. These guys drive out to Philly, use the brewery's wholesaler in Philly to get the beers, and bring them back.
Mm.
So on Tuesday, they're having a 5-beer brewery tap takeover in Pittsburgh, right? Something, so, like, I'll try to wrap this story back around, but, you know, that's what Caliente does. But the Church Brewworks did a collaboration
beer. Are they going to be at Savor? Do we know?
The church? Or, I mean, the brewery?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, the church did a collaboration beer with this bar, Caliente, right? Sure. I'm sure it's a good beer. I'm sure it was fun. it's not a, to me, a collaboration means a brewery collaboration.
Yes.
And a Beer Week beer is a beer made for City's Beer Week.
Yes.
And the Church Brewworks doing a beer with a local pizza beer place
is not a collaboration.
It's a Beer Week beer.
Yes.
So,
which is fine.
It's fine. But it's a Beer Week beer. It's not a collaboration beer.
Right.
But that's all semantics. So maybe I'm wrong on that. And more people agree the other way.
I don't know if that's semantics. I mean, that's kind of the deal. That's
but, kind of, you know, yeah, sure. Like Southern Tier does a Beer Week beer for Pittsburgh called Pittsburgh Left. And the Pittsburgh Left is a great phenomenon that people in the area don't know. When you're at a traffic light and the lights are all red and you want to make a left turn, in Pittsburgh, you actually have the right-of-way across, in front of oncoming traffic to make your left turn.
I didn't know that. I knew that if there was a one-way street.
Not legally. Not legally, right? But in Pittsburgh etiquette, you have the right-of-way. So you can cut off the traffic that's coming the opposite direction as soon as the light turns. That's called the Pittsburgh left.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I've noticed that. But I know that, like, you can make a right turn, obviously, on a red light.
No, not on a red light. So,
but I'm saying if you make a right turn, you can make a right turn on a red light, period, if you stop at the red light and then there's nothing coming.
You can make a left turn on red if the street you're turning onto is a one-way
street. Is a one-way street, yes.
But no, there's the Pittsburgh left, which is as soon as the light turns green, the oncoming traffic will yield to you so you can make your left turn across them.
If you're the first car.
If you're the first car. You're right. It's crazy traffic etiquette here in Pittsburgh called the Pittsburgh left. And if you get in an accident pulling a Pittsburgh left, it won't hold up.
No.
But also, if you don't take your Pittsburgh left down in the city, the oncoming traffic who yields to you will get pissed off that you didn't take your left.
Yeah. No, I mean, I always, it's in the book. It's completely legal. Move out into the lane when the light's green. Mm-hmm. Move out into
the middle of the intersection.
Into the middle of the intersection when you're waiting for the left. That way, once it turns red, you're still allowed to make the left.
My student driver, my driving school teacher, taught me that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. So you go out and block the intersection. So you are the last car through the intersection when the light turns red. And that's, my driving school teacher taught me that.
Yeah.
No, the Pittsburgh left is when you're at a normal intersection with no turn lanes and no arrows or anything, and the lights turn green, you're expected to make your left turn really quick before the traffic can get through the intersection.
I so don't believe that's universal. And
no, it's just, that's why it's called the Pittsburgh left.
Yeah. Right?
If you do it.
No, but I mean, I don't believe that's universal in Pittsburgh. I hesitate to do that. Sometimes it works.
I would say most of the time,
but it usually I hesitate to see if somebody's going to let me go because I'm always wary of that. But usually you're right. Usually people will let you go.
Yeah, it's the Pittsburgh left. So Southern Tier does a beer. The base beer is an unnamed beer that they do for special events like other beer weeks. So the beer that is Pittsburgh left, it's not a unique beer. It's a beer that Southern Tier does for other things as well. So that's a Beer Week beer. That's not a collaboration beer. Beer Week beers are fine. Limited release beers are fine. But when you're collaborating with someone who doesn't make beer, you're doing a Beer Week beer, not a collaboration beer. And Greg seems to agree.
Because I was going through all the websites before, and they have Southern Tier has this place. Why was I going through the websites? Well, we're trying to do something different this time. We're
whoring ourselves out.
Well, I know if whoring ourselves out is the right way to put it, but what we're doing is
we're trying to use our juice.
Yes, we're saying, okay, we've been around, we're the longest running, as far as we know, we're the longest running beer podcast, continuously running beer podcast that there is. So, hey, you guys that all the American beers that we've had, why not send us stuff?
Yeah, so we actually went out and actively asked over 200 breweries today to put us on their media distribution list, which is a thing. And it's something we probably should have done years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. Boulevard sent us stuff. I didn't include them on the list. I didn't include FX Matt on the list. because I know they already sent us stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't include Old Dominion on the list because they sent us stuff.
I haven't got Old Dominion stuff in a while.
I thought we had...
They're in a weird limbo state now.
So. But then, and I didn't include like Budweiser and Coors on the list, but I included the other beer crew, and some big, some small. Sam Adams I included, but I also included some, you know, really small brewing companies. Mm. Jester King is an example of something. And so, you know, if we get 10 to 20% response from the over 200, then we have a decent amount of brewers that are coming in.
Especially if they're sending beers twice a year.
Yeah.
Three times a year, four times a year, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's something I should have done a while ago. Greg took the onus to put together the form letter and to send the emails. And yeah, we've done all the beers that he has collected in our beer review database. But that also means that there's another 1,200 breweries.
Right, some ridiculous number. And hopefully, I mean, I hope that at the Saver we're going to get some contacts and we'll send some stuff there. But even that still is only going to be, you know, at most 60 or so other breweries if we get every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And chances are we're not going to.
I'll send you, I think I can share contacts with you. I got a list of beer contacts I collected over the years. Like, you probably didn't email Evolution Brewing.
Even though Zandy,
we met Zandy out at the Rear Beer Fest.
I included you on the list, so you should have the list of the beers, the emails I sent to. Sometimes some of them were just websites, some of them were emails. Mm-hmm. But I have the brewery name, the emails, and whether I contacted them and whether it failed or not. So some of them failed, some of them I just was not able to contact. Let's see. So an example was at the very beginning. When I started, like, the very first beer that started, you know, Stone and Victory and Bell's, but Brooklyn I was not able to contact. I could not find a way to contact them. Okay. You know, A.L. Smith, Mendocino, all those Anchors, Heavy Seas, blah, 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 worked. But Lancaster I failed to contact. And some of these were just, you know, contacted via website things. Mm-hmm. Ipswich, I was unable to contact. Arcadia, I failed. Trogues, they had a failure in their contacting thing, which was their website. So,
okay, I'll go through the failures. Yeah. And I mean, I definitely have contacted Trogues. I definitely have contacted. I'm almost certainly can get an email to Steve Hindy at Brooklyn, things like that. So, I'll have to check.
So let's pause this for a second because I need to use the facilities. And let's pour this out because this is frightening me with how full it is. There, see?
I should just drink it, man.
Yeah, I'm just in love with it. All right. Let's talk about your bike wreck.
Okay, I thought I mentioned it last time.
But I don't remember it if you did.
All right, so it was on, we did the show on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out with Greg on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday afternoon at lunchtime, I decided to take my bike out and try to pick up some growlers for the Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week preview show. So I was taking my bike through the south side, or not the south side, through Strip District, then I took, you know, through Lawrenceville, Butler Street. I was going to Roundabout, a hop farm, excuse me, and then I was going to go to the Pittsburgh Public Market to get some East End beers. And when I was just about to Roundabout, I was riding on Butler Street, and there's a bike lane. In the middle of the bike lane, there's a pothole. And I was, for some reason, I didn't see the pothole. I was looking beyond it at the storm drains, I think, beyond it. So I hit this pothole, and I was riding with my palms of my hands, like, kind of on top of the handlebars like this, like, not grasping handlebars. So the bump of the pothole made my arms.
Well, let me try to explain your.
So I mean, I think I kind of did, right? The palms of my hands were resting on the handlebars, and I wasn't grasping with a closed hand around the handlebars. So when my bike hit the pothole, it bumped my hands loose, right? And I scraped my arms. Mostly the scabs are healed over now. But I scraped my hands across the handlebars. I'm trying to steering with my elbows, right? The pothole turned me towards the curb. And I thought for sure that the front tire was going to hit the curb. And I was going to flip over the handlebars onto the sidewalk. Luckily, I was able to stay on my feet and not go over the handlebars. But my forearms were all scraped up. Hmm. And then my legs were... Well, my saddle part was all bruised up.
Your ass.
Because riding on the seat, you know, as this whole thing's happening. So I got to a stop. It hurt. I brushed myself off. I go to continue riding. And I go about a foot and a half. And my back tire stops spinning. I had kinked the rim, bent the rim, right? And some of the spokes were loose and it was all fucked up. So I walked over to Roundabout, which was almost literally across the intersection. And Steve Sloan and Diana were just getting there. And I mentioned about trying to get some growlers filled for this preview show and whatnot. And he's like, yeah, sure. But, you know, we're just getting here. We're not ready. Poor right now. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I'll walk down to Hop Farm, which is about 8 blocks away. Come back and get the growlers filled. And he's like, yeah, sure. So I walk down to Hop Farm. And, well, I leave my bike at Roundabout, which is completely busted. Walk down to Hop Farm. I hear them making beer inside. But they're not visible through the storefront window. And I'm banging on their door. I'm not sure if they don't hear me or whether they're ignoring me. I bang on the door and bang on the door and bang on the door. And they're not answering the door. I go and bang on the big garage door. I bang on all the doors. They were avoiding their chemical sales guy. Because they had told him, don't come today, we're canning. Right? And they thought he'd come anyway. So I'm like, okay, these guys aren't going to answer the door. So I call a coworker to come pick me up and to, you know, come pick up my bike. And as I'm standing out front of the storeroom. So the guy walks through the tap room, sees me out front, you know, opens the door, lets me in. So that's where we got the one nut from last week, right? He finally let me in right before my coworker came. Takes me back to Roundabout, get the growlers around about. Excuse me, get the growlers around about. There's only one more good part of this story, so that's why I'm continuing to tell it. I'm sorry. We load my bike into my
coworker. Open an extra cough, just for fun.
Probably does have an extra cough for fun. Let me chew on this cough drop.
Do it. Do it, baby.
One last cough.
There's that cough.
All right. So, load my bike into the back of my buddy's Fiat. He has one of those Fiat Scorpion, mm-hmm. whatever's, you know, tiny little sports car. And we're on Butler Street going back to work. And because the tire was bent, the rim was bent, the bead wasn't sealed right. So the inner tube, which was at 85 pounds, ruptured in the back of the car. It was like a fucking gunshot going off. And there's a lot of talcum powder inside the tire, you know, for the tube to keep it from getting rubbing and stuff. It was like in the movies when those dye packs go off when someone robs a bank inside a car. You know, this big puff of white smoke and this bang was in the back of the car. It was so funny. I mean, it was scary. I didn't know what was going on for half a second. But it was like one of those dye packs going off in a movie. It was insane. There's some pedestrians on the street like, what the fuck? And we're like, what the hell?
Wow.
But I got the beers. We stopped at Pittsburgh Public Market, got the East End beers, and we did last week's show. It all worked out, so. But, so, the part of the story I was tying into what I told you earlier, and I told Greg on Friday, it's like, my lower joints, my hips, my knees, were achy. Kind of achy that you get when you get the flu, right? But I was chalking it up to the bike accident, you know, because there was a lot of stress.
Wait, let's be clear. You didn't have the flu.
No, but I had...
You had a cold. You had a rhinovirus. You had a...
Okay. But I only ever have achy hips and knees when I get something like the flu.
Yeah. You had something similar to the flu, but it was not the flu. The flu lasts 5 days. The flu is...
It is. And I had no GI distress, right? I wasn't... Yeah. No diarrhea, no puking, yeah. Right? So it wasn't the flu. But you normally... A cold doesn't give you achy joints, normally.
It can.
Not in my experience. Not normally. So this was a weird cold, which gave me achy joints.
There are lots of viruses out there, so, sure. You know, who knows?
But sure, I'm not proving to... I'm not saying...
It likely was not influenza.
No, because I had no GI distress. Yeah. The flu always gives you GI distress. Right? But the...
I don't know if always, but almost always.
Oh,
but
you're always...
It lasts
you're
several
always
days.
Puking with the flu.
The flu lasts several days.
But you're always puking with the flu.
Most of the time, yeah.
Always. Just about always. Almost always.
Yeah.
Like... 95 out of 100 times you're puking with the flu.
If it had 100 flus, then that'd be pretty fucking ridiculous.
Right. But also, from my experience, colds often don't cause joint aching. So, flus cause joint aching. So, I don't know what I had. Sure, it was some kind of rhinovirus. It doesn't matter. Rhinovirus doesn't mean anything. Was it a cold or was it a flu? This was a weird mix of in between.
Yeah, something in between. I think they're pretty similar.
Right. So that's what I had. I never really took my temperature, but there was times Friday night after I got back to home that I was freezing when I was under the covers.
Yeah, that's when you know you have something
and
bad.
Then Sunday, I was under... Sunday morning, it was Easter morning, you know, the kids are doing their basket thing. I'm laying on the couch under 3 blankets, freezing.
Mm-hmm.
Can barely keep my eyes open to see what's going on. And I laid on the couch all day Sunday at my mom's house. And so that was no fun. Monday.
But just think about how much it helped your voice. I mean, it turned your voice into a
so
huge
sexy.
Radio voice. Yeah.
So sexy. So worth it. And Monday I was run down. I took the day off other than I ended up working half the day preparing for that presentation that I had to give. And, but you know, I didn't have a great sleep most of the week. So I was run down. By Thursday, Friday, I was getting pretty run down again. So I left work early on Friday to relax and rest. And today I was able to coach soccer for Allison and whatnot.
Make noise.
So I think I'm about back in the saddle. Like I said, last night was the first night all week that I didn't wake myself up coughing. So that's great for a restful sleep.
Absolutely.
That's where I'm
at. If I would have known, I would have brought you some cough medicine. But
got these fucking... Heather bought me these almost prescription-strength lozenges. They're like, take one immediately after the other and cough suppressant thing. Fucking burned a hole in my tongue.
Really?
Like, it burned all the taste buds off the tip of my tongue. Everything tasted like chalk for a day. My tongue didn't feel right for 2 days. It fucking sucked. I'm not taking the Cepacol. Something like that? Cepacol?
Yeah, I know those. Those are nasty.
They suck.
Those are nasty.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah.
Don't do those.
No, those are gross. So let's see. Let's take a look at this brewery email list just to see if there's anything interesting that happened here. I wasn't sure about New Holland. The website was kind of weird. It didn't really give me any indication whether it sent things or not. Let's see.
I'll look through the list and I can follow up with people I know.
Portland Brewing failed.
Portland Brewing?
Yeah, that failed.
I don't even know who that is.
Well, we had them once. Most of these I did a successful contact. But like I said, I mean, Trogues failed, but I'm sure you can get Trogues. Arcadia failed. For whatever reason, I think the person they told me to contact, the media person, is no longer there. Ipswich, Magic Hat, it was a website only thing, and I was forced to do a truncated email.
Mm-hmm.
So, et cetera. There's things like that. And the only non-American website was Interbrew.
Okay.
That was the only non-American one. So we'll see if...
So you got some white chocolate over there in your glass, huh?
Yes.
That's bonkers smelling, huh?
It is crazy.
It smells like a bourbon barrel.
It smells something weird. It smells...
It doesn't smell as alien as when we first had it.
No.
We couldn't figure out. Now it smells like white chocolate and bourbon. Yeah. This is so muddy.
It is muddy.
Of the bottle
is you want to mix?
No, nah, it's okay.
All right, you sure?
I'm just going to take a sip and dump the rest out. I had plenty of this one last week.
It's, I was glad we opened these up for Greg because they were, they were good beers to just, play around with. But the brewery is one of the ones we contacted. So let's hope that, that's why I was saying, I wanted to see if the brewery is there because we know Patrick pretty well.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys we really know well from the brewing industry. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a short list of people that know us.
Yeah. Right?
And then, there's.
There's people who know of us, but there's people who actually know us.
Mm-hmm.
I was not able to contact Line and Kugels.
No.
What they don't have a contact thing at all.
What a shame.
We're trying everything we can. I wasn't able to contact Brooklyn. That is kind of a shame.
Yeah. I probably can get Steve's contact info. Yeah, the bottom dregs of the white chocolate?
Yeah.
Not so good.
And Sam Adams was another one which I did through the web forum, and I think we can talk to them and
I'll find the old contact to the marketing company and stuff like that as well.
Founders wasn't able to contact either. I'd like to get some stuff from them.
Yeah.
But you'll see the list. So.
You want to do Amazon Anonymous?
Yeah, we only have 200. We only have, I'm sorry, 200. I was thinking of the amount of your places I contacted. We only have 4. Things in this last 7 weeks.
Oh, no. Slackers.
Now, I understand. No, I get it. Look, it's not the time of year where you buy things. Right? It's not...
It's always the time of year where
you buy things. It's not winter. It's not... it's not prime birthday time.
Shouldn't that be pretty well distributed across the year?
No.
No?
No, it shouldn't be, because you would figure that your birthday time should be... most likely around holidays.
What's that?
Well, nine months before holidays. Right? After holidays. Like, me and my sister were born in August, and my parents are pretty sure that they conceived us around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Somewhere around November, because that makes sense. And in fact, they're pretty sure that we were conceived in my grandmother's apartment. So we both found that kind of disgusting, because why wouldn't you? Your parents having sex is gross, but also to me it's interesting. But yeah, I mean, you typically find things sort of 9 months after holidays, right? What was 9 months before April?
I mean, Allison was conceived because we were actually attempting it, right? So it wasn't. And Max was the same thing, right? We were like actually saying, let's have babies.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was really a side effect of any kind of event. Allison, we tried for probably 3 months or so. Max was the first time out, so.
Interesting. I wonder how that plays a role. I wonder if having something makes it easier.
And we were actually trying to follow the wives' tales things of like to try to, for Max to try to force a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was N days before ovulation and things like that. So, like, we had sex once. Just once.
Uh-huh.
You know, not like for 4 days straight. Just one day we had sex for Max. And, you know, because we wanted to try to force a boy. It kind of worked, so.
Well,
sure, it might not have worked.
I'm skeptical of
that. You should be.
Yes.
You should be skeptical. But, you know, I mean, you know, if you're getting a... Even if it's giving you a 5% more chance, right? Why not?
But is it giving you a 5% more chance?
It's probably... I mean, I think there's probably enough... what's the word I'm looking for? There's probably
anecdotal evidence.
There's probably enough evidence to assign some increased percentage to it.
It would be purely anecdotal.
It's not something that's been studied. It was kind of based on correct. I could easily be wrong. Don't jump down my throat on this one, right? But I could be wrong. Where it's kind of like. The sperm that has the boy chromosome lives longer than the sperm that has the girl chromosome. So you base that upon ovulation. So there's like a 1 day window or maybe a 2 day window where you can get a slight bump in boys. Something along those lines.
Sure.
Sure. Could be bullshit.
But sounds like bullshit to me. But then again,
what's the cost? What's the opportunity cost?
Yeah.
It's not much,
right? It's very low.
The opportunity cost is very low. So, sure, I had sex once instead of five times in a row.
Yeah.
But I got the boy.
You got plenty of masturbation done, I'm sure.
Well, no, because you had to store up.
Oh. So,
part of the wives' tale, part of the anecdotal thing is you need to not come for so many days before you actually come for real. It's like
fake.
I don't remember the exact details, but the crazy goofy ass witch doctor shit that we did was don't come for 4 days, inseminate your wife on this specific day before ovulation.
Mm-hmm.
All the girly sperms die off over the next 3 days, and the boy sperm will inseminate on the fourth day, type thing. Sure, it's skeptical, but what's the opportunity cost, right? The opportunity cost is so slow that why not, right?
Yeah,
and part of another thing I did was to chug an iced coffee right before I had sex with my wife, you know? Something about caffeine helps there, too.
No,
you're laughing
that,
at me.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
You're laughing at me. But what's the opportunity cost?
Well, no, wait a minute. Chugging it something right before you have sex, there's no way that will have an effect on you immediately. Right? There's no way that can have an effect on you immediately. That can have an effect on your sexual organs immediately. That's absurd.
Well, let me see what they say here.
Now, it can have effect on other things in your body immediately, but your sexual organs are way down here, and they take a long time for things to process. So, I mean...
Yeah, so, like, it was this list. Like, utilize sexual positioning to conceive a boy, shuttles and vibes, deep penetration...
Sexual positioning doesn't make any sense to me.
...such as rear entry position, which places the sperm closer to the cervix and gives fast-moving Y sperm a head start in fertilization.
I don't know there's any evidence at all that Y sperm is faster than X sperm. I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever to show that to be true.
Again, the opportunity cost is low. Right? What was the penalty for me doing this goofy bullshit?
The penalty is that you're doing things for no reason. That's the penalty. Well,
right. And I still get to have sex.
Yeah, but you have to wait 4 days to have sex.
I'm not saying it worked.
It's in the relative beginning of your marriage, so you could have sex more often. It's not like 20 years in when it's like, you know, okay, we schedule sex on Fridays at 4.
This article's bullshit, right? There's no scientific things, but it says, number 5, encourage your partner to consume caffeinated beverage before sex. The caffeine may make the Y sperm more active.
That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't see any way that can possibly have any impact on your sperm. It would take so long for caffeine to get to the area where your sperm is that consuming it before sex makes absolutely no difference.
I don't know, man. Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm not going to argue it. I'm just saying for us, this 10-item checklist was easy to follow.
Right.
If it gave me a 5% better chance of having a boy.
But did it? I mean, what you had
If you consider
yourself at roughly 50-50, then you would guess that you would get one of each, right? I mean...
Yeah.
And that's what you got.
But no, it's not 50-50. It's like...
Is it?
No, girls are like 52-53%.
Okay, so it's a little slightly in the girls. But like my sister and brother-in-law did that. And... If it was my sister and brother, that'd be really scary. My sister and brother-in-law did that, and you know,
but who knows? Maybe they did the same crazy shit.
Maybe they did. I don't know, but they got a boy and a girl too, and my parents, as far as I know, didn't do anything crazy, and they got a boy and a girl too. So,
yeah. I hear you. But like I said, we wanted a boy. The opportunity cost of doing these goofy things were so low that it wasn't worth not doing it.
Right, but I mean, how would you have felt if you got another girl?
That those things were probably useless.
Right.
Does it matter how I feel if they were useful or not? It doesn't. I'm not advocating here that anyone does this crazy shit.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if you find crazy shit online, and it's not going to have any adverse effects because the opportunity cost is so low... What? Drinking a Frappuccino, you know, having sex with my wife in a certain way that I can penetrate really deeply, that doesn't suck, first off.
No, let me tell you that. Okay.
The only thing that sucked is instead of having sex with my wife for this, you know, carpet bombing of 4 days, we did it just once.
Right.
But I have enough other sex with my wife that doesn't...
Well, know. I mean, but the whole thing about it, drinking a cappuccino, so you can't go to sleep afterwards, and so you have to...
No, caffeine doesn't keep me awake. It doesn't affect me.
Well, you're a little unique in that.
I mean, not like that kind of thing. After you blow your load, you fall asleep no matter what, even if you have a Frappuccino.
Okay. So, the thing I'll pick from the Amazon Anonymous... is I have two choices that are kind of interesting to me, but I'll pick the Joey. Someone decided to pick the Joey bottle stoppers that we like for.
Same people probably bought the Xylus too.
Yeah, we like for the
dogfish
/ other bottles that are similar to dogfish, the champagne bottles that don't quite fit the normal Xylus. And the Joey is what we found to be the best solution. So good for you. Yeah, pick those Joeys. Those are good.
I'll go with the Style Bible. What to wear to work.
Yeah, that was my other choice, yeah.
$1.99. 5 stars. That's the best 5-star money you can spend right there. It's a Kindle book. It's first impressions and second ones in parentheses. Count, whether you are an intern or a CEO, Lauren A. Rothman addresses the age-old dilemma, how to be appropriate and stylish in the workplace, based on a decade of experience in the fashion industry. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, review time. It has 55-star reviews, it has 2 3-star reviews, and 1 1-star review. That is pretty weighted. That almost seems like it's faked. You know, it's kind of pushed in there, right, with paid reviews.
How can you smell this and not think it's great? This is the Black Tuesday.
It smells pretty fucking awesome, that's for sure. Image matters, even at the gym. 5 stars. As a small business owner and professional trainer, my image is the greatest marketing asset. For years, comfortable gym clothes have been the norm. But for my business, as my business grows, my reach expands, I find that what I wear impacts my client relationships. Where's that one-star review?
I'm a douche.
Here we go. One-star review. Waste of money! $1.99. Keep that in mind. This is my first review, and I was so disappointed with this book. I had to write a review. I truly questioned the validity of all the five-star reviewers. I wanted a book to help me build a wardrobe with classic style for work. Not a good choice. Almost everything written in this book is common sense or useless information. I'm trying to say one thing helpful about this book. Chapter 8, My Money. Not worth returning because the shipping cost. It's an ebook. Okay. Not sure what to do with it. Still looking for a book on building a classic wardrobe. Signed, Very Disappointed.
Thank you, Very Disappointed. Okay, well, so that's Amazon Anonymous for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. And we definitely hope to have more Amazon Anonymous stuff to speak of next week. Buy more stuff, people. We need your help. We're going to Saver in 2 weeks. We need to buy our traditional stuff.
So here's one we didn't do for having a boy. Number 6, consume cough syrup a few hours before intercourse. Some gender selection theorists believe that cough medicine containing galactosin thins cervical mucus, making conditions favorable for Y sperm. Cervical mucus.
My favorite kind of mucus. Oh, God, what was I thinking of? Because I was thinking of something good to bring up.
I just brought up cervical mucus. You can't beat that.
Yes, I can. I could, at least from what I was thinking of.
Oh, this Fuck Tuesday is fucking awesome.
It takes some time, right? I mean, maybe this is what it needed. It needed some time to...
Oh, my God. Fuck motherfucking Tuesday. Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thank you, Gary Frank.
Mm. My traditional dish at the first day of Saver is to find a steak tartare. Since we've been in DC a couple times.
Yeah, we've always gone to Brasserie Beck, right?
Yeah. But I think the steak tartare has only been a 2-year thing, right? It's only been two years.
Is it 2 years?
Okay. Yes.
I mean, with Brasserie Beck, and then you found that place
in New York.
New York. So, I mean, there's no problem with going back to Brasserie Beck.
No, not at all. That was such a good steak tartare.
Or not, it doesn't matter.
That was such a good steak tartare that I'm definitely.
But you know, it would be nice to try someplace new.
I'm willing to try something new, but not for a steak tartare. I want that Brasserie Beck steak tartare that was so awesome.
It's close. Might as well. It's close to the hotel.
How are we going to get down there?
I got to drive. It's too late to get Megabus.
Yeah.
And you hate Megabus anyway. So.
Yes.
If you didn't hate Megabus, I would have, you know, got tickets.
I have a slight issue where I don't know whether my car will be legal.
No, I can take my car. That's not an issue.
Okay, so we'll drive your car down, and
I love the economics of Megabus, but you hate it, so
the economics are fine, but the hassle is so annoying to me. To me, it's just an annoying hassle. I mean, it's not terrible in terms of I hate rides that are longer than 4 hours, and I really dislike the waiting for things. I'm not good at that.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's going to cost an extra $100 or so.
We are getting some payment from them.
Well, sure. I mean, it's not out of the question to do that. It's just, you know, if it was completely up to me, I'd definitely do the $2 a round trip mega bus early booking.
Right? Yeah. There is.
But sure, you have to take a bus from the mega bus stop to the hotel. That wasn't too bad, but it took some time.
There is a chance, not very likely, but there is a slight chance that I might not be able to join you on Friday. And you have to go down individually on Saturday.
Oh.
I doubt it will be the case. I don't think it will be the case. But if
this... New job?
If this new job happens...
Who's going to have to start you on a Friday?
No one's going to be starting on a Friday, but they may start me on a Monday and may not let me leave on a Friday.
Oh, I see.
Early. The slight chance. I don't think it's going to happen. One way or another.
Right.
But it's within the realm of possibility.
Okay.
Do we have... Is JD going to join us?
I haven't lined anyone up yet, but we could probably get JD for sure.
I have a friend who can join us.
Probably
in the DC area.
We probably have listeners for sure that we could use.
Yeah.
It's...
But I have a kind of family friend who can join us. Who can come and perhaps do a little joining us if you'd like. He'd probably like it too.
Yeah, I just have the concern that, you know, the last time we had someone who was not so trained in the art, stuff got screwed up, right? So,
yeah.
Where I would rather, you know, just stick with a known quantity with like Jamie or JD and...
Okay. I mean, it's whatever you want to do. I'm not going to... I didn't promise him anything.
I mean, because in the past we've opened it up and...
Yeah.
People really didn't know and it got a lot more complex at that point. So, but...
Okay. No, I understand.
JD's punctuality has also not been proven to be super great.
True. True. And frankly, with the experience we have, we can do it on our own.
Yeah. This week I'll see if we can line up someone for each session, get a third person in there. I think I still want to give it to listeners instead of, you know,
I would, or something like that. Yeah, I would rather definitely give it to listeners.
So that's what we'll do. If you're listening right now, hit me up with an email, Jeff@CraftBeerRadio. We'll get you signed up. And JD, if you're listening, love you, buddy. But you've been late a couple years in a row, and your punctuality starts to wear on you.
But let's be honest. I mean, come on, JD's in first place. He's
he is. But he was late in his own hometown, and then he was super late in New York City. So,
well, New York City is a tough one.
We weren't late.
We had a hotel room that was paid for.
Yeah, okay. Be on time, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Let's see. You know, you mentioned that you fell down, got scrapes and stuff. Uh-huh. We are on the latter side of 20, let's say. We're approaching 40.
Mm-hmm.
We notice that scrapes don't heal as quickly as they used to.
A little bit. I've noticed places where my DNA is all fucked up, where like I have certain skin blemishes that are never going to heal now.
Yeah.
Like there's like a little bump and a little hole in my skin that's like, it's not like an open wound, but it's like kind of a folded over thing. It's like, why don't you just fucking heal? Like, where is it? It's right, like this bump that's between my knuckles right here, right? This thing's just never going to heal. Feel that. It's been there for years and years and years. And it should just go away. It just be normal skin, right? But no, this little knot in my skin's never going to go away.
Here's something that I have. On my middle finger on my right hand, you can kind of notice a little bump here. maybe a little bit.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that happened, as far as I know, when I was like around 17 or 18. That was the only time that I know that I've been stung by something.
Okay.
I felt a real pain here, and I got, I don't know whether I was stung by a bee or whether I hit some sort of nettle bush or something, but I got stung by something. It was really painful for a while, and it left this kind of slight, just, I don't know, slight oblong kind of thing in my middle finger. I don't know what to deal with it. I don't know if I've ever been stung by a bee.
Okay.
I just know that I had this stinging sensation for, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes. That was all.
Yeah, I got this thing on my shoulder. I'm going to try to show it here without stripping down, but actually, I'm going to have to take my shirt off to show Greg here.
Sexy time.
Have to take that myself. So, this little thing on my shoulder here, mm-hmm. looks kind of like melanoma, right?
Yeah, I have a little sort of wart on the back of my...
That started off as a pimple. And it never healed. It was this pimple that...
It's probably just a little wart, you know, a little papilloma virus.
No, it was just a pimple. And every time I go to the doctor, I point it out because I don't like the color of it because it sounds like melanoma. And he's always like fine with it.
That's my shoulder scar from when I had my shoulder operation.
So getting old sucks. You get these little things that should just heal over and you never do.
And you don't, and it's a little bit not quite as easy to lose your drunkenness, especially for Jim Cook, apparently.
So, but like this was the big scratch from the bike thing, right? Mm-hmm. It was a big, heavy scar. That one healed pretty quickly.
It's still there.
It did, but I mean, it's only been a week. I mean, the scab fell off over just a couple days. I was impressed that my skin healed as quickly as it did. I'm like, hey, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting like a 2 week thing on this, and
I wonder if it's because in the forearm that sort of stuff that goes very quickly.
Right? It might be, but I mean, compare like you said, right? I expect slower heal times. Yeah. I expect to have scabs longer now that I'm close to 40, and that one healed pretty quickly.
I had something on my foot. I had on my big toe on my right foot. I had a bruise of some kind that I probably got just by slamming my foot against something. I wasn't sure, and I showed it to my doctor, and he wasn't sure either. And he was like, it's probably nothing, but, it could be cancer. I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought it seems to be sort of pushing up. It was gross at the time, but it's probably just a bruise. Who knows? And it definitely was just a bruise because it slowly moved up and then out. Mm-hmm. So it was... And he apologized the next time. I'm sorry. I was like, dude, it's fine. No, I understand. It was just...
That's a weird thing, right? The whole it could be cancer, but it's probably not. Because, I am rational enough to realize what a public medicine policy needs to be, right? Yeah. And you can't test every little thing. You know, there's a certain... acceptable risk,
yeah,
right, where you have this thing that could be cancer, but it's not worth doing a biopsy on.
Well, not like that, but it was like,
but also on the other side, it's your life, right? It's worth everything because it's your life.
Well, sure, but it was also like, it could be cancer if it behaves like this and this and this. I was like, it doesn't really behave like that. Mm-hmm. So it didn't strike me as anything related to cancer because it didn't behave like he suggested it would. So,
but there's, certain screening things, right, where it's like, especially more internal cancers, prostate, mm-hmm. things like that, right? Like, for someone like our age, we're really not in the screening window for prostate cancer yet.
Yeah, we're not quite there. It's sort of more like 50, 60.
45 to 50, yeah, somewhere in there. So, like, no one's checking us for prostate cancer.
Yeah. Right.
You as an individual, wouldn't you love to know early if you had prostate cancer?
Well, absolutely.
But it's not economical to screen you for it yet.
No.
And that's where the whole public health economy comes in. And I appreciate, you know.
I mean, you kind of have a microchip in you that would say, oh, I'm detecting some kind of like, you know, twinge of something that could be cancer. Keep an eye on it. And then, oh, yeah, that's sort of cancer. But, you know, you can, it's so early, you can just blow it away. So that'd be great to have. But then you worry about, okay, you have a microchip in you. That means you can be tracked. It's this whole fucking shit.
Yeah. I hear you. But yeah, this whole dichotomy of what is right for public health and what is right for you individually, because you're the only you have, right? You know, there's that kind of thing.
So Greg asked, I told Greg that we were doing this stuff, and he said, I'm looking forward to hearing which were which. And I told him, I'll ruin the surprise a little bit. Yours, .. didn't travel well. Some others didn't as well. And he said, balls. I'll need to figure out a way to get you guys some fresh ones. FedEx, you know, Air.
Yeah. Well, going across international borders is kind of hard without calls.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's rough. We love you, Craig. We really do. We appreciate you coming out. I gave you the best time I knew how. And appreciate your continued support. It hurts me that I can't say that the bureaucracy beers were getting good tonight.
Let me respond to him by saying, you being here was better than your beer being here.
I don't know if that's going to carry the right connotation.
That's all we really care about.
Yeah, but he's trying to make a livelihood making beer.
Yes.
It's so. I mean, that's the position. It's hard, right? You hate to shit on a friend's beer, but I mean, they were shit war. Just shit war. They did.
It just it happened to be the case that it was necessary. We have to be honest, otherwise.
We do. Yeah, we have to be honest. It would just. It'd be rather convenient that your friend's beers were good.
Yeah, no, it would be convenient. And there's some, like when Scott was here with the Smoke Beer Show, because I recently covered it, he didn't like, he ranked his beer last. And I ranked his beer pretty high up, from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean, so our whole ranking thing, it's a mixed bag, right? Because it's all relative, right? So you could... You can have hard luck losers, where if we...
When I said that, he said, oh, dude, you rock.
You know, there's going to be hard luck losers.
You rock, too.
Where if we provide scores, right? Scores are more subjective, right? Scores are more, you know, give a certain beer a 20. Not good, right? So at least, you know, we're just ranking them against not the beer world in general, but tonight's beers.
Yes.
So there's an out.
That's a weird question, though. How do you rank beers? This is an interesting question, I think. Mm-hmm. How do you rank beers on their own against other? I mean, because do you rank them against style? Do you rank them?
I think our way is convenient. An easy tool, right?
Yes.
Because we only rank them against a universe of 5 or 6 beers.
Yes.
Well, we excuse me. We talk about them versus whether they're a world-class style, how they represent the style. But really, in the ranking at the end, it's only in a universe of 5 or 6 beers.
Absolutely.
If we were doing more of a BJCP thing, we'd have to score the beers. And then that would give them a scale versus everything that's ever been scored by anybody.
Yes.
And that would be a lot more responsibility, right?
Now, I don't know if you read the AV Club, the Onion's AV Club, which is it's not satirical, but it's there. It's become sort of the one of the go-to places for criticism of popular entertainment, you know, TV shows and movies and stuff on the web and music and podcasts and even that sort of thing. But what they do is when they rank when they give a grade, they give a grade, you know, A through F, but they give a grade based on the show itself, not based on some sort of nebulous ultimate. So they say,
how do you say that though? How is that possible?
It's questionable. It's obviously based on the reviewer itself, but the reviewer decides how much a show, you know, so an A example is an A on The Big Bang Theory is not necessarily equal to an A on Community. An A on The Big Bang Theory is equal to the best sort of thing in A, sure. The Big Bang Theory will pull out versus...
It'd be Big Bang Theory and Charles in Charge and those kinds of shows, right?
Right.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, but then you're just slicing it. You got more angles, right? You're saying this show is a... So you have tier 1, 2, 3, and 4 shows.
Well, no, I mean, it's problematic when you have multiple reviewers. If you only have one person reviewing, then you can probably have somebody give an exact definition. So, but if you have multiple reviewers, then you can't. There's no way to do that.
I mean, you can say this is a Big Bang A, but I think you could distill that out a little bit fairly simply, right? Because you can put a bunch of shows in the same class as Big Bang Theory.
Yes, right? But I mean,
Blossom is in the same class.
Sure, but you could
say that's a bad example because it both has My Room Bellic. But you know, I mean, those kinds of, you know, your average sitcom.
But you you could say that an A Big Bang Theory is better than a B plus Community, and you could also say that a B plus Community is better than an A Big Bang Theory.
Well, sure.
It just depends on your perspective.
No, sure. But like an A Big Bang Theory and an A 2.5 Men is equal, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, the point is that it's based on the show itself and what the show has shown itself to be capable of.
What the show is, what it's theoretical maximum is, right?
Right.
From what
right.
its history is shown. Sure.
And from the person's perspective, the person who's reviewing its perspective of what the show is capable of. Right. I mean, the person doesn't start by saying, okay, this is what the X show is an A+, and therefore I'm going. But he just says, this is what I believe the show is capable of, and this is what this show gives me based on what I believe the show is capable of.
Okay.
And I think that's the most reasonable way to do it, and it sounds the most like grading students, right? I mean, if you're going to grade a student, you're not going to grade students if you're a teacher on some sort of purely objective stance. You're going to say, okay, this student is probably capable of X, and this student is probably capable of why. If I do an objective standard that doesn't give you the best explanation of how well a student tried or how well a student gave their all on something.
Okay. I get that. I don't know. It's difficult, right? It's especially when we're talking about TV shows, not really students, because I think it's easier to...
Well, it's easier. It's... I don't know. I mean, I think that they're the same thing. I think that they're sort of equivalent. I mean, the only difference is that a student is one person versus a show is a product of a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's the same kind of deal where you're dealing with... You're dealing with something completely different from one another. You're dealing with the way in which something interprets a story or a way of telling stories versus another thing, which could be completely different in the way it tells stories.
Okay. I don't think I have anything else to add.
Well... Thoughts?
No, give me another thing to think about.
I brought my... Where is... Yes. I brought my ABV, my alcohol by volume of my breathalyzer.
Oh, okay. Did you get it retuned? Or?
No, I didn't get it retuned. But I tried it after having some wine like a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed to be reasonable. I haven't tried it for so long, so it seemed to be reasonable, but I think I need to drink some water before I...
You need like 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, you need 20 minutes before you really get a good idea.
Otherwise, it just kind of picks the booze on your breath out instead of your actual ABV. Yes, we'll give it 20 minutes, give it a blow, see what happens. Give me a blow.
Oh, give me a blow, please. Please. Hey, Jeff is fucking cut, so he doesn't even worry about anything.
I can come all over the place. Yeah. No matter, no mo.
He can just spray it all over.
Fucking sterile.
So what's that like? Is that fun? Has that changed the way that you interact? No,
it's not at all, because prior to my sterilization, Heather was on a depot shot. It's a once every 3 months birth control shot. And she's still on the depot shot because she hates her period.
That kind of makes sense, because the period is, I mean, we don't experience that as men. We don't experience that sort of, that major shift in the way that we view things and in our hormonal imbalance.
She hates her period, so she's actually on the depot shot right now, so it really doesn't matter whether I'm sterile or not. So no, it hasn't changed anything at all. I still have a couple of side effects. My left nut still sore quite often.
Really?
After all this time. I probably should go back to the doctor and say, why the fuck's my left nut so sore?
Have that awesomely hot chick look at your nuts again.
Well, that was just the physician's assistant.
Well, why can't you do that again?
Well, if I go back to the doctor and say, why is my left nut so sore? She's not going to be involved.
Why not? Ask for her.
I should, actually, but... I thought it was getting better, but over the last 2 weeks or so, I've noticed more left nut soreness. And it's been almost a year, so yeah, I probably should get that taken care of.
Can we change the name of the show to Left Nut Soreness? Because that's...
No. Yeah, left nut soreness.
So at least it's not... Well, no, you are left-handed, so never mind. I was going to say, at least not your right hand, but you are left-handed.
Well, when the whole surgery was fresh and everything, my left nut hurt so much more than my right nut. It really took the brunt of the pain and everything. And my right nut's...
Now, what's the difference between the soreness you're feeling and being kicked in the nuts?
It's more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just constant pain. Like, not constant, but when it's happening, it's just this constant throb. Like
a wub, wub, wub,
kind of a wub, wub, just in the left nut. And there's times where if your nuts are hanging low, you'll feel it. There's times when you're coming, you'll feel it. So, it's not really straight up pain. Like, I don't, feel it and say, ow. But, when you stop and think about what you're experiencing, you're like, damn it, my left nut hurts.
The really weird thing about pain that I've noticed, about a sort of a wub, wub, wub kind of pain, is that it's not as regular as you expect a wub, wub, wub. You get sort of a pain and then nothing, and then you can't quantify that pain.
It, right?
Well, the thing is that a wub, 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 if it's manufactured, then you can get that pain in intervals, and so you can sort of compensate for that. But if it's not, if it's biological as opposed to
the other part of the problem is, you would not believe how much a 3-year-old boy hits you in the nuts.
No, I wouldn't believe
it. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, you've watched America's Funniest Home Videos, right? With all his nut shots and shit?
Not really, no.
But you know about the meme of nut shots on America's Funniest Home Videos? You would think that was a false representation of how much guys get hit in the nuts.
Not really, because the little kids are small, and where are they going to punch?
Max hits me in the nuts at least twice a week.
I don't doubt it. I mean, knowing Max, I mean, I saw your kids playing the games with each other, and not only were they playing the games, but they were also just fucking with each other the entire time.
Yeah.
They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't jump. Just fucking with each other. It was, I mean, and we were like saying, to, we both of us were saying to them, don't
keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your hands to yourself. You know, trying to express that. And, you know, Allie at 6 years old should sort of figure that part out, but no, no, she didn't. And Max, you know, I get that Max doesn't understand, but Allie, I figure she kind of gets it, but no, no, she kind of, but I also sort of get that, you know, you have this sort of thing where you have a sibling and you just kind of fuck with them because that's what you do.
It is what you do.
Yeah.
Talk about this on the show before, but there was a book that came out probably about 2 years ago about siblings. There's not a lot of research on siblings and whatnot. But what this book stated, and I'm just saying it, what's the word?
Vicariously?
Not by, oh, I can't think. What was the word used earlier? I'm thinking of a very common word right now.
Give me synonyms.
It's the, you know, just when we're talking about the whole conception thing of the boy, right? It's the, oh, I can't even think of what the letter of the thing starts with. Oh, fuck up. Don't worry about it. But it's siblings fight. Siblings, Max and Allie's age, they fight with them each other every 7 minutes. That is a literal statement. Huh. So, like, saying they fight all the time is almost literally true. And look at what you saw earlier tonight, right? I mean, they're playing fine. And then Allie starts doing this goofy shit, like, hey, I'm a chainsaw, and she's sticking her hand out. Yeah. And she's just antagonizing Max, right?
And the weird thing is that they don't seem to realize that they're antagonizing each other. I mean, Allie doesn't seem to realize that she's antagonizing Max. Max doesn't realize that he's antagonizing Allie. They kind of... they don't get the idea that they're bothering the other person. They just do it because it's fun. And that there's this kind of acceptance that they both know that they're going to fuck with each other. And that's sort of ingrained in the way they behave with each other.
But can you imagine how that drives a parent insane? Every 7 minutes.
Absolutely.
Every 7 minutes, they're starting it over again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, she's putting her hand in front of her mouth, or Max is hitting her, or something like that. No, I saw it. I mean, I directly saw exactly what you're talking about. They are fucking with each other, definitely. Non-stop. I mean, and that 7 minutes sounds about right based on what I saw. One of them would fuck with the other person within that period of time. And the weird thing is that they didn't seem to really care. I mean, they were kind of like, you know, hey, it's what we do. And you were like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, don't do it too. I was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And they're just like,
it's what we do.
Why? And why not? I mean, what the fuck? You know, and the weird thing is, and kind of I think the weird thing that they probably experience at school that you don't see. The weird thing is they're like, well, we're friends. Why the fuck not? You know, they're just kind of like, you know, we're with each other all the time. Why shouldn't we bother each other? That's sort of what we do.
They seem to get, keep your hands to yourself. They seem to understand that you don't want your sibling touching you all the time.
Right.
So you shouldn't touch your sibling all the time. They seem to get that part of it. So that's my most effective tool in fighting siblings.
Well, your most effective tool is sort of, is not quite that, but it's more along the lines of don't touch each other, period, which is...
See, but what I end up using is I found that keep your hands to yourself is more effective than...
Then don't touch each other.
Yeah.
Then don't touch each other. Yeah, sure, and I understand that, but it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. Keep your hands to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think there must be the question, like, when you ask Max, why did he do... I figured what it was, but I forget. You ask Max, like, why did he hit Allie? And he said, I don't know. And I know that... from my experience, mm-hmm. when my parents asked me when I was a kid why I had to do something, and I said, I don't know. But I kind of did know, and it was just sort of like, that's what I felt like doing. Right? I mean...
Felt right.
Yeah. It felt like the thing to do at the time. And I don't know is the answer when your answer is felt like the right thing to do.
Hedonistic thing, yeah.
Yeah. So when Max says, I don't know, that's sort of him saying, it seemed right at the time. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that.
How far ahead do you expect a 3-year-old to take his thought process, right?
Exactly, right? You thought 3-year-old's not going to think, okay, you know what? Let me think about this a bit. Because Allie was sort of hitting me, and there was this kind of conflict that was going on. He's not going to get into that sort of shit. He's going to be, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
It just happened.
Yeah. It's just some shit that happened, yeah. So I totally get it. So it's like when he says something like that, I'm like, I felt in my mind when he said that, because we were playing Super Mario at the time, and when he said that, I was like, I totally understand. And it was like, I can't be like, I support you, but I also can't be like, I don't support you. I just don't know what to fucking do. I just said, all right, I'm just going to be quiet because I don't know.
Let his dad yell at him.
Yeah, let his dad yell at him and just, you know, not. And I tried to be a little supportive, like when they were fighting each other and you weren't paying attention or you were playing the game. I was like, you know, don't hate each other, that sort of thing.
Most of that stuff is below my threshold, right? Of intervening, right?
Yeah.
So there's a certain threshold where the kids are just going to be kids.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck with each other. And,
right.
And I've inherited that. So you're probably more sensitive
absolutely. To the
things that were below my threshold.
Definitely. Because there are things that I'm not used to that your kids are doing that you're totally used to, or that you're just like, okay, yeah, like you said, it's below my threshold of paying attention to what they're fucking doing to each other. And I'm like, okay, that's a little weird. Let's stop that. And part of it is because you stopped it before, so I'm going to stop it before you stop it.
Right.
So I don't want it to get. I don't want it to escalate to the period where you stop it, because then it seems like not just that it's bad, but also that there's a part where you're slightly, and I don't want to, you know, make this seem something about you, but it's where you're slightly embarrassed that I'm here to see that, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand. Kids are fucked up. I totally understand. So when kids do fucked up things, you should not feel embarrassed. But me saying that is not going to help you.
I think that's kind of a false impression on your part. I mean, there's nothing they could have done where I would have been in thinking, especially how close we are.
Right. Yeah.
That I would have been worried that you think my kids are uncontrolled assholes.
No.
I mean,
that's not going to happen.
Right. I mean, sure, that could happen.
Unless your kid starts killing some, like, animals or some shit, then I'd be like, okay, that's kind of some Hannibal bullshit.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're nowhere near the point where I'm worried about you. I mean, even so, like, the way that, I mean, any, you know, even the worst they behaved tonight.
Yeah.
For any peer of mine who has children of similar ages, that was all completely normal stuff, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, granted, you're at a disadvantage in that lens because you don't have any children.
I have nieces and nephews who've done the same thing. I mean, certainly not that I've been exposed to regularly. But
I mean, there was nothing my children were even close to doing that would embarrass me, like you said, in front of a different adult.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like when Allison started doing the whole chainsaw pretend thing. And she wasn't even focusing it at Max. But it was for Max's benefit, right? It was not benefit, but it was like, I'm going to keep my hands straight ahead. I'm not going to angle them towards Max at all.
Well, the weirdest thing I saw.
Doing this thing is going to antagonize Max.
The weirdest thing I saw was Allison just putting her hand over Max's face. And it's like, that's a little weird. Because, you know, I've seen them kind of, you know, antagonize each other fine. But that whole thing, and then Max just sort of dealing with it and not like fighting at Allison was like, what?
I was actually playing right when that part happened, so I didn't really visualize exactly what was going on. I just know that Ellie wasn't keeping her hands to herself.
No. No, she was not. But also, I understand that from the perspective of, you know, my sister being 4 years older than me. I mean, obviously, Allie is not quite as old, the same age, but it's somewhat similar. I mean, she's a senior position. My sister had probably done something similar to me, and I was just like, all right, it's my, you know, she's older than me. She knows what's supposed to go on. So you have this sort of ingrained thing where you have this impression that the person who is older than you, even if it's just your sister, even if it's just, you know, it doesn't matter who you're related to, it's the person you're older than you, has this relation to you that says, don't do this, and so you don't do this. That's it.
Right. That's fun. It's fun, crazy psychology, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Keep your damn hands to yourself, kids. Everyone's happier if you keep your hands to yourself. Everybody.
Well, unless you're trying to get a whore.
Everybody in this situation. You are happier if you keep your hands to yourself. Your brother is happier if you keep your hands to yourself.
Yes.
And mom and dad are especially happier if you keep your hands to yourself.
Absolutely. So let's try this out here. I'm going to give it a little bit of a thing on the blood alcohol, the backtrack.
She called the back masking. It'd be like talking backwards over music.
All right. So I get a... It's calculating. Still calculating. Jeff is playing on his little... That really helps. It's beautiful. I'm sure other people... As a 0.05... So I'm leaving.
I can do better than that. Let's see. Here we go. Which button? The start button?
The start button. Yeah. Wait a second. There it goes.
11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
4, 3. Wow. Can you feel it? I feel it. It stopped. Okay, it did the beep.
I just want to make sure I blew through it.
Yeah. Now you just had a sip, so that could influence.
It could.
Yeah,
we'll see. But I also wanted to beat you. So
how? How are you going to beat me?
The higher score.
Higher or lower?
Oh, we tied 0.05.
All right.
Both legal to drive. Look at that.
That makes sense. I don't feel.
I feel about 0.05.
Yeah. That feels about right. I feel more comfortable around a 0.04. So it's a little bit like gonna drink some water. What else do we have? When I did co-sign for you in the last thing, I told you it was cosine is is adjacent for hypotenuse, but I gave you the opposite, so it should be this angle, not this angle.
Okay.
It's adjacent for hypotenuse.
Okay.
So I realized that when I was talking to you, I was like, "What? What? No, that's not right." Adjacent, next to, adjacent, not opposite. So. The sine is opposite versus hypotenuse. Ka, adjacent versus hypotenuse. And toa, tangent, is opposite over adjacent. There's your
awesome.
Thank you. Stuff. What are you playing now?
I was hoping that it would pipe through the soundboard, but...
Well, when the last time you tried that, it didn't really work
but
too
no,
well.
But no, I figured out the right button since then, so...
Do you want to just give it to me and I'll play it? Because we know that works. They have a little fucking connection.
Okay, that works.
I should
it's
probably
just the, number
get
one,
on at him so you can talk
it's to the me. Number one song from 1984.
Really? A yes. Phil Collins song? Ew.
I'm just kind of played a little bit of that.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, it sucks, but...
All right, hold on a second.
Take a look at me now. Take a look at me, Greg. Look at me. Look at me. Look.
Give me a second. Me. Jesus Christ. You need to look at my fucking thing. I want a computer. Okay.
Oh. Live version, nice.
That was not my intention.
The number one song in 1984 this week.
Really? Phil Collins.
I'm not a Phil Collins fan at all.
Not at all. Not at all. I dislike Phil Collins, dislike the Police. I dislike all their shit. The whole, you know what really, you know what the thing that bugs me the most about Phil Collins? Fuck this shit. You know what bugs me most about Phil Collins?
Oh, you didn't even let it get past the sixth bar. Jesus Christ.
Every Police song that I know I hate. I don't think I like a single Police song.
Every Breath You Take.
I don't think I like a single Phil Collins song, period. But the worst is what's that sending out an SOS? What's that song?
That's a Sting song, ain't it?
Is it Sting? Police?
Message in a Bottle is what you're
Message
talking
in
about.
A Bottle,
that's,
yeah.
That's Police, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But the last, I don't know, 20 stanzas are him saying, sending out an SOS, sending out an SOS. Sending out an SOS, sending out an SOS, and just keeps going and going and going over and over again. And it fucking bugs the shit. Would you stop that, please?
No. A few bars. If you played it for like two more bars, I would let you go, but...
Mm. There's really... I can't think of a single Phil Collins song I like.
Yeah, I feel much the same way. It reminds me of weekend afternoon car rides where I'm feeling car sick and nauseous and listening to Phil Collins on the radio riding in the backseat of a station wagon.
I don't understand why people like Phil Collins. I mean, if you like Phil Collins, whatever, great for you. But Jesus Christ, I don't like this fucking dude. This shit is awful to me. This is the worst stuff. Oh my God, it's terrible.
It was the number one song in 1984.
People have terrible opinions.
It doesn't get any better. You want to go to 1994?
Nope.
I didn't think so. But the internet lets us do that, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes, the internet is a wonderful thing, but what the internet uncovers for us is not necessarily a wonderful thing.
No, not at all.
What the fuck is this?
Number one song in 1994. R. Kelly.
Is this when he's pissing on somebody? Is that what he's saying? My mind's telling me no! My penis is saying piss! Piss all over you! Man, that Chappelle Show sketch where he does piss on you is a fantastic sketch. But wow, you can really feel it's a 90s song by the whole wee 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 thing in the background.
Give me a little bump of grind, Greg. Give me a little bump of grind.
We're sitting down. It's not quite the right position for a bump and grind.
Oh, that sucks. That really sucks.
It's R&B in the 90s.
All right. So that was 94. Might as well check out 2004 while we're at it. Let's see.
So. Yeah. Might as well. It's not like people are going to be sick of this shit. Well, I'm glad there's nothing to come from it. So it just sounds like nothing. Well, okay, that's a good sign.
Raise the roof, buddy.
This is catchy. I'm not going to say this ain't catchy. You know, this is fucking catchy. It's not a great song, but it's catchy. It's definitely 94.
This was the number one song of 2004,
actually. 2004, right. Okay, 2004.
It was number one for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 weeks.
That's crazy. But, I mean, if you listen to songs now, they're so much more composed. If you listen to anything, really, I mean, anything along this line, there's much more composition behind this beat. This do 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 do. I mean, the one thing I'm thinking of, if you would stop the song for a second, please. Okay, thank you. Is that klezmer like song from Talk Dirty to Me? And there's, I mean, I know it's not wonderful, but there's more to it than just three notes. Do 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 do.
Right, yeah. You might be curious what the number one song in 1974 was.
Thanks, it might have been better, much better, probably.
The Sound of Philadelphia. Original 12-inch version.
This is already better than those other songs, even though...
you're right.
Yeah. Even though it's not great, like loving it, it's just better than those other two songs.
Is there any lyrics, I wonder?
This should be. And here they come. Nope.
It's the Sound of Philadelphia. Maybe there's no lyrics in Philadelphia.
This is the sound of brotherly love, everybody.
Well, they got some Soul Train on the video here. It's nice. Oh, it's awesome.
It's a little repetitive.
It's a lot repetitive.
Yes, a little. By little, I mean fucking lot repetitive.
I guess there's no words. I'm going to jump ahead here halfway.
Wow. Oh, there's words.
People all around the world.
People all over the world. Live free.
People all around the world.
This is very much a disco kind of roller skate song.
Mm-hmm. Do 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 do. Hey, that's in key with the song.
Kind of.
Well, you know, I'm going to play this Bow and Trick Pony out until the end, so let's see what else we got. We got 1964, which is...
I've actually, for some reason, my alcohol level has grown higher to 0.054. As opposed to 0.05. But I guess that kind of makes sense.
Let me give another blow. Let me blow on the old...
Yeah, blow on that motherfucker.
Breathalyzer. And actually, the 1964 song is probably the best song of the bunch here.
Which is it?
Can't Buy Me Love from the Beatles.
God. Regular listeners know the way I feel about the Beatles. Especially, well, the way I feel about early Beatles. Can't fucking buy me fucking love. Woo woo.
This whole movie.
No, money can buy you a lot of shit. It's better, probably better than love, because, I mean, come on. Let's face it, how long does love last?
So the Beatles had the number one single from February 1st to May 2nd over three different songs. I Won't Hold Your Hand, Ugh. She Loves You, Ugh. And Can't Buy Me Love.
Ugh.
And Louis Armstrong, look at that, 0.059. I'm drunker than you, bitch.
You got me, but we're still able to drive.
1964. I guess we got 2014, but really, what's the point of playing anything from 2014?
What is 2014? I'm curious. Is it some Katy Perry shit?
Number one song right now is Happy from Pharrell Williams.
Oh, yeah, that makes
sense. And it's been the number one song for Jesus since March 8th.
Because I'm happy. I mean, that's the thing, that like every 10 years there's some sort of song that's like, because I'm happy.
Because it's the number one song for 9 weeks.
There was like the Hey Ya is kind of the happy song from 10 years ago. And then there was the Bobby Farrell song. What was the Bobby Farrell song? Happy something.
You mean Bobby McFerrin?
Yeah. Don't worry, be happy. So it's the same kind of shit. It's the same shit.
So I don't even know what the song sounds like. So here, I'm gonna play.
Okay.
Number one song for the last 9 weeks.
This is. I'll give it this much. It's not a bad. I mean, it's a song that gives you a little bit of happiness. I mean, it's a happy song. You need to get to the chorus before you get to the point where it's so happy.
Well, I mean, all I see right now is a really skinny Haitian guy on the video here. And oh, it went to a fat white guy. That's nice. So.
Because I'm happy. See, that's just, it's just.
This dude is making bank. 9 weeks with this shit?
But this is very much along the lines of the Bobby McFerrin type shit.
Oh, look, they have a minion from Despicable Me in the video.
I don't know. I can't see.
So it must be from Despicable Me 4, 7, 12, whatever the fuck's out now.
It's the same kind of thing, though, right? I mean, it's that Hey Ya. It's that kind of like just, this is just a happy song. That's just, you know, it's not going to make you feel bad at all. It's not going to make you think about anything. It's just going to present to you, oh, happy. All right, that's enough. Are you sure by doing this you haven't just cut off the entire show?
I'm positive. I did it the right way this time.
All right.
I haven't pushed any buttons since we started, so I'm sure we're good. The only thing I'm not sure of is that the music was actually piped into the recording, but I'm pretty sure about that.
Well, I need to go to the bathroom, so I think it's a good time to end, don't you think?
Yeah, we can end.
I think we had a good show. We had a good pro show.
I was just going to play one more thing.
All right, play it.
And this is there's a bluegrass band called the Old Crow Medicine Show, and they have a song called Wagon Wheel. It's kind of a Bob Dylan. They took some tunes from Bob Dylan.
What?
This song has been stuck in my head for almost 6 months now. I really dig this. Darius Rucker, the guy from Hootie and the Blowfish, he covered this as a country song.
Hootie.
I much prefer the bluegrass version. And
Hootie.
We'll play this one out.
The guy who he hated calling himself Hootie until everyone called him Hootie, and he was like, all right, fuck it. Call me Hootie.
Yeah, but I love this song. So the refrain is this little short that Bob Dylan did, but he never wrote a song around it. So these guys from Old Crow Medicine Show wrote the verses to the song. So it's Old Crow, and I love the bluegrass part of it. It's just...
I actually like kind of bluegrass in a way. I like the folk kind
of
thing.
I'm a big fan of bluegrass. I wish that pop country was more like this.
I mean, that's why I like Pavement so much, is they kind of have a folk good tone to them.
And I'm hoping to rally, I can see my baby tonight. This is the Bob Dylan refrain. He wrote this part. And then the...
That part definitely was Bob Dylan.
Yeah, Bob Dylan sang this part. But the verses... It was never a whole song. It was just this little clip that he recorded and it was available.
Yeah.
And then Old Crow Medicine Show wrote
the
rest.
Weirdly enough, I can see the Bob Dylan in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, Pavement, like I said, they kind of have this sort of folk rock to them, which I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's a band that I really enjoy that has that sort of folk thing to it. I don't think folk is bad. I think folk is really good if you have the right presentation towards it.
I love this song. Love it.
This is not bad.
North country winds keep getting me down. Lost my money playing poker, so where do I begin? I get in the back, live that old life no more. It's almost over. It's a short song.
No, I'm not going to... That's very Bob Dylan, that part.
Yeah. Like the wind and the rain rocking me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey. Got my sexy voice. I can sing some bluegrass.
Yeah, sing that, motherfucker. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Craft Beer Radio post-show. We hope you enjoyed this ridiculous conversation we had between us. I mean, hey, this is what we do.
This push is for us, not for you.
Yeah, I mean, basically. I mean, we love it if you enjoy it. We're happy, but this is the way that we make our show, our main show about beer, is by saving the stuff for the pre and post show.
Caught a trucker out of Philly, had a lice long toke. Headed west to the Cumberland Gap, Johnson City, Tennessee, and I gotta get a move on here for the sun. Hear my baby calling my name, and I know that she's the only one. And if I die in Raleigh, at least I will die free.
Free!
I can't really fade this out easy here. Let me see.
No, what's the deal? Is that not is that one of your...
There, I'll fade that out. No, it's USBN, so there's not a slider for it.
Yeah.
But there we go. We'll wrap this puppy up. Hopefully you could hear the music, and...
That'd be nice.
It would sound really shitty if the music wasn't piped in.
Yeah.
We'll check that out after we stop recording. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time.
Talk to you next week. Next week will be the last week before Saber.
Oh no. I don't think there's any music. Shit!
Well, it's better than no sound, right?
Fuck. Oh, well. Oh, shit, there's no music. Fuck.